This is interview one, a single long interview with Harriet Perry in her home in Burbank, Glendale area, for the Rosalie Riveter Revisited Project, interview conducted on Tuesday, March 31st. Sherna Gluck is the interviewer.
Essentially, what we'll do is cover your full life history.
Well, you're going to ask me questions,
well,
aren't you?
Well, I'll ask you a question every so often and just let you take it.
Oh, dear.
You don't have to worry about it. I'd like to start with some sense of your own family background, if you can tell me a little bit about your grandparents.
I can't tell you much about my father's family, but my mother's family. My grandmother came from England. And when she was 7, and she and my grandfather were married when they were 17, back east. And they had, I've forgotten, 10 or 12 children. But they lost a lot of them in the typhoid epidemic. And my mother was the only girl that lived to grow up, and she had 5 brothers. And they came to Spokane, eastern Washington there, when my mother was about 17, 18. And she met my father there, who had migrated there from, I believe, Denver or Pennsylvania, somewhere in the east. Mm-hmm. And my mother and father had 9 children, and I was the 6th of 9 children.
Now, was your mother in school at the time when they moved to Spokane, or did she finish school?
I don't know. I know that she taught school for a year or two before she and my father were married, so she must have been through school.
Did she just get a high school education, or did she get
just high school. In those days, you know, to take a high school girl and put her in a little one-room school.
So she taught out in the country school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just 1 year is all she taught.
And what was your father doing at the time that they met?
He was always, all his life a carpenter. He apprenticed as a carpenter under his father, and he was always a carpenter by trade. And then when they lived in Spokane for a while, and then he wasn't too well living in the city, so they bought a little dry farm out east of Spokane and raised the family. Poor farm, you know. And he worked as a carpenter part of the time, and then he'd come home and try to farm. And that's the way we were raised.
Well, when you say he'd work as a carpenter part of the time, he'd leave?
Yes, he'd work during, he'd work, say, in the valley near town during the week and come home weekends.
Oh, I see.
And then as the children got older, they'd help with the farm work, and my mother would make butter and had a vegetable garden. She sold vegetables and things like that.
Now, and before the children got old enough, who helped with the farm work then when he would go off?
I don't know. I was number 6, and I was kind of down the line, say.
Well, how large a farm was that?
Well, it consisted of 70 acres altogether, but most of it was in trees and lumber and things like that, which he didn't sell too much. He'd sell cordwood, you know.
Oh.
And he'd cut wood for our own use.
Mm-hmm.
And but we had about 4 or 5 cows and a couple horses, and we raised vegetables and hay. And I don't remember him ever selling it. It was mostly for use on the farm.
So you were fairly self-sufficient.
Yes, but we just got deeper and deeper in debt as he didn't work away from home as much, then there wasn't the cash coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd get deeper and deeper in debt for staples, you see. So then in 21, we migrated to a warmer climate because TB had invaded the family, and my mother had lost 2 children of tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 more of us showed signs, and she says, we've got to go to California or Arizona. And that was in 1921. So they sold the farm, or they leased it first. And then the people in the neighbors in the country where we lived, the territory, took up a benefit for the Horning family. Their name was Horning. And my dad got enough to buy a Model T Ford. He'd never driven a car before in his life, and he was 60 years old. But we packed up that car with his carpenter equipment and clothes to last us. We didn't know how long it was going to take us. we started out, there was, let's see, my brother and myself and another brother, sister. There were five children and my mother and father in this Model T Ford.
Now, were the children the older children?
No, one brother older than I. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I had my 14th birthday the day before we left Spokane in October. Mm-hmm. And then another brother was 3 years younger, and he was pretty sick. He was sick with TB, yes.
And had you contracted it?
Yes, there was a spot showing on my lung.
Mm-hmm. Can we back up a little bit? Let me ask you more about your childhood on the farm before you left. You were 14 when you left, you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were the sixth. By the time you were born, were the other children still all alive, or had she already lost some?
No, they were all alive when I, that is, she didn't have the last two.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest sister worked away from home by that time, and my older brother, he helped on the farm, and then at one time he worked for the road company, building roads, mm-hmm. and he got sick. He was one of them that she lost with TB.
So when you were born, there were five other children?
Five before me, yes.
And you were born when?
In 1907. Mm-hmm. October 14th, 1970.
Do you recall what your childhood was like on the farm?
I remember it as happy. We didn't have any money, but my mother was a good provider. She did sewing for the girls, and I'd get my hand-me-downs, but they were always made over so they looked better.
Mm-hmm.
And I started in a little one-room school, and then the sister that's 6 years older than I went into high school, so then we went the other direction to another school, and it had the grades and high school.
Oh, I see.
So then we all went down there, and I finished the seventh grade there.
Now, what kind of chores did you have growing up on the farm?
Myself, you mean? Not too many.
Oh, really?
My mother depended on me to kind of look after the babies if she was working in the garden, and I don't remember. We had to carry our water, and I remember having to carry water. But not too many chores that I can remember at all. Mm-hmm. Doing dishes, and I always hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd usually pick a fight and run away.
So inside the house, also the only chore you had was doing the dishes?
As far as I can remember. I probably helped making the beds and things mm-hmm. like that.
How large was the farmhouse?
Oh, just tiny. Just tiny. I've visited since, and it's just tiny, tiny thing. It was two rooms, a kitchen and a living room, and then my dad built three little bedrooms on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And really tiny, with two girls in one room in a double bed, just about filled the room. It was real tiny.
So you shared the room with your sister then?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how about playmates? What was the closest farmstead to you?
There were no children close.
Mm-hmm.
But we lived by road about 5 miles from what they call Newman Lake. And I had a girlfriend there that I used to spend the night with once in a while. In fact, there were two different ones. So I'm still in contact with the two of them, too.
Good.
But I played with my brothers.
What kind of games would you play then?
Well, when I was little, I'd play with my younger brother. We'd go up on the hill, and there was a bluff by the road, and we'd dig in there and make little farms and things in there while my dad was plowing the field. Then, a little later, there was a little shanty built across the street from us, a road from us, and my older brother and I decided we were going to keep house over there. So we finished that house, and I think I cooked one meal for my older brother. And that was fun. It was an experience I can remember. But I always had dolls when I was tiny, and I played a lot with my dolls.
So you played by yourself a lot, it sounds
mm-hmm.
like.
Well, there was a brother 3 years older and a brother 3 years younger, and I had plenty of company.
Because mm-hmm. I don't imagine they played dolls with you, did they?
No, they didn't do that.
Well, how did you dress as a child? Sometimes farm children were dressed a little bit more ruggedly than city children in those days, even though most girls didn't wear overalls.
I don't have anything to compare. No, I didn't wear overalls. I just dressed like the other girls,
mm-hmm.
you know. We always, in the wintertime, we wore long underwear and long black stockings. always went barefooted in the summer, and I was just a, kind of an easy life, mm-hmm. as far as I could see, for myself, but not for my mother. I wouldn't live on a farm now.
What, did the farmhouse have electricity?
No, no electricity, no running water. We had to carry our water from a spring up a hill about, as far as from here across the street.
Mm-hmm. So about 50 feet or so?
Oh, yeah, more or less. And finally, when I was, I must have been about 8 or so, we did get a telephone in. But it was one of those party lines, you know. But no electricity, no running water. My mother, I don't know how she managed, but she had help from the older girls, you see.
So everything was wood, basically?
Every wood, it all was wood.
And how about your lighting? Was that kerosene?
Yeah, kerosene lamps. At one time, somebody, one of the older children, bought a gas lamp. And it made beautiful light for them to study by in the evenings. But my dad, when he went to light it one time, it caught fire, and he just threw it in the snow. He says, no more of that in the house. He didn't know how to handle the gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of reading did you do as a child, do you recall?
Well, let me see. Bobbsey Twins, I remember reading. And I don't remember that I was much of a reader as a child. You're getting me way back there, what I can't remember so much of it.
You're doing pretty well. How would this family spend time with each other, those who were the children who were home, and say when your father was home? What sorts of things would you do?
The one thing I remember most, my dad loved to play dominoes, and we would play dominoes, and hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what ante over means?
No.
Well, we'd have a ball, you know, baseball size, throw it over the house. Half of us would be on one side and half on the other. And we were supposed to catch that ball when it come down. And if we caught it and run around the other side and tag one of the other children, then they were on our side. They call it ante over.
These are games your father would play?
No, our father didn't play those with us. Mm-hmm. Those kids would play. But I remember Dad playing dominoes. But Dad was a quiet man, and he liked to read.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember my dad reading the newspaper. We'd get in the mail, and the farm journal, and things like that. And he was a self-educated man. Mm-hmm. He didn't go any farther than the fourth grade in public school, but he was self-educated.
How about your mother? What sorts of, did she do much reading?
I don't remember that she did. I think she was too busy.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
She baked her own bread, all that.
Mm-hmm. Did you help out in the kitchen at all?
Some. I wasn't forced into it. But I'd watch, and I realize now I learned an awful lot from her just watching, making bread and pies. I helped with the canning. Whenever we had cherry trees. And we'd pit the cherries. We had a cherry pitter and sit there by the hour pitting cherries when she'd can.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, we didn't raise tomatoes. My dad would bring home tomatoes from the valley. And I can remember helping peel tomatoes to can, too, things like that. So during those, I guess there were chores I did do that I'd forgotten.
Yeah. Who were you closer to of your parents?
Oh, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
And then you say that you started out in the one-room school, and then when your sister started going to high school, you went to a different school.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And did you have friends in that town, too? Was that in a different town then?
Yes, it was. It was, I made friends in school, but they weren't as close as the friends in the neighborhood where I was when I was younger. I don't remember. I didn't keep in touch with any of them when we left there, so I don't know any of them anymore.
So you left then when you were just about in the eighth grade?
Yes. I finished the eighth grade in Redding, California. I didn't start to school that year because the doctor says don't put them in school. And so we were getting ready to come to California. So the first half of that year I didn't go to school because I was supposedly not well enough. But in February, my mother put me into the school, the eighth grade, in Redding, California, and I made the whole eighth grade in one semester.
So you had finished the seventh grade when
yes.
you became sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how the family left Spokane and they stopped in Redding? Is that
yes. It took us 2 weeks in a Model T Ford. My baby brother was 3 years old, and he had abscesses on his scalp. Mm. And mother had been doctoring him for that all along, and they weren't getting any better. So when we got to Redding, you see, we were in warmer climate. We were over the pass. We were over the mountains, and mother knew we were in a warmer climate. And she said, we've got to take this baby to a doctor. So we were still camping in the campground, and they went up to the hospital there in Redding and happened on to a doctor that knew that it was tubercular scalp.
Oh.
So they took him in, and there were 22 incisions on that baby's head. So we had to stay there.
I see.
My dad got a job the very next day because wintertime, there's a lot of work there.
What sort of work?
Carpenter.
Oh.
He was a finished carpenter. Mm-hmm. He could start a house and build it right mm-hmm. to the cupboards and everything, you know. So then we rented a house and moved in with all our camping equipment. Like, you know, like the Grapes of Wrath people. The neighbors thought we were just gypsies. And especially when my younger brother wasn't going to school. My older brother, who was 17, he had to stay home to take mother back and forth to the hospital to get the baby's head dressed every other day. So he didn't stop to high school until the second semester, too.
And you were home.
And I was home. So the neighbors reported us to the authorities. what do they call that man?
The
truant officer came to the house. Wanted to know why the children weren't in school. So mother told him.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't bothered after that. She told him that I would be going to school mm-hmm. in February, that I was well enough to go to school, but that the younger brother was not. And he got well just by living in California and doing what he wanted to for a whole year. And he's still alive. He's 70 years old now, and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you, since your mother had been a teacher, that period when none of you were going to school, did she...
It was before she was married.
Know?
No.
No, but I wondered if, since she had been a teacher, if during that period when none of you were going to school, if she decided to kind of give you some lessons about...
No, that was left up to the
mm-hmm.
schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... No, I don't remember her teaching us, sitting down teaching mm-hmm. us. And I don't even remember her reading too much to us either. Mm-hmm. She didn't have the time. She had a whole big family mm-hmm. to take care of.
Was it a problem being out of school then when you did re-enter?
I was mad because the California school system was different than the Washington school system. And when I was in the seventh grade, I took some of the state board examinations to show that I wouldn't have to take that subject in the eighth grade. But California would not accept that. And I remember one subject especially was civics.
Mm-hmm.
Civics. I said, well, I already passed that exam in Washington. I sent for my grades and everything. And he says, it doesn't matter. You have to take it here. And they had their final exam, I think, about 6 weeks after I started to school, and I passed it with a 70, which was pretty good for California, I thought. But I was kind of perturbed because they wouldn't mm-hmm. accept those. And they said, well, now this is a different state.
Now, was the plan to stay in Redding, or was that just temporary?
Well, that was a necessity
mm-hmm.
to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the warm weather started, then work quit for my father. Now my older sister, the one that's 6 years older, she stayed in Washington. She was teaching school at that time. Well, when school was out, this was in 1920, left there in 21, this would be 1922.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when school was out in the spring of 22, she came on down to Redding. And believe it or not, we lived on what money she had saved during the winter.
Mm.
Because my father was out of work. And finally, he's a very much of a church man. And the minister that we knew in Redding had a brother in Pasadena. And he came down on his 2 weeks vacation. And he worked as a carpenter under his brother in Pasadena. So he got in contact with my dad. And he says, if you can make it to Pasadena, you can get work. Because it's all over, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then my sister bought him a train ticket to Pasadena. This was in the summer of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down to Pasadena, got a job right away, and he finally sent us money for the rest of us to come down in the Ford.
Oh, and now who drove that? Your mother?
No, my older brother. Uh-huh. He was 17, 18, mm-hmm. something like that. And my sister, who was 3 years older than he was, yes, she was 21, 22, something like that. Mm-hmm. So we came down from Reading to Pasadena, just in time for me to enter high school.
I was going to say, now you're entering another school, probably.
Just in time for me to enter Pasadena High School.
Mm-hmm. And where did you land in Pasadena? Did you find a house to live in?
We landed in Brookside Park. It was a campground at that time. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to only stay 2 weeks. Well, I couldn't. Nobody would rent a house to six kids in the family. And because my sister was with us by that time, that made six of us. And so they went out and they bought a lot, a 50 by 150 foot lot in an abandoned orange grove, then subdivided. And my dad built a two-car garage, moved into that, and set up two tents, one tent for my brothers and one tent for me. And we lived on that, in that place for about, let's see, till 25. That would be 23 people, about 3 years.
So your folks lived in the garage?
Yeah, they had their bed, and we had our cooking facilities and our dining tables and everything, and Mother and Dad's bed and the two babies' beds. Uh-huh. See, the little baby was still about 4 years old, and my sister was six. Mm-hmm. Well, they were in the garage with Mother and Dad.
We're in a tent.
Where did my sister? My sister got married very shortly. Her fiancé came. We landed in September. They were married in November. You see, she didn't stay very long. But I was in one tent, and my two brothers, my older brother and younger brother, were in the other tent.
How close were your closest neighbors?
Oh, in Pasadena? Oh, just right close, because it was a subdivision. Mm-hmm. Other people were building there, too.
No, but they were in houses.
Tell you the truth, I don't remember.
I'm just curious how the other people reacted to your family being in tents.
I don't know.
Do
I really don't know.
I was
too absorbed in school, I guess.
What was it like starting high school then? Here was another new school.
It was scary. It was very scary. At that time, the girls in Pasadena High had to wear uniforms.
What were those?
Navy blue pleated skirts and midi blouses with a navy blue collar.
This was at the public high school?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pasadena City High School. And, of course, I didn't have one, so I had to get a special permit to wear a different kind of an outfit until my mother could get me the skirts and blouses. And that was kind of, I was an oddball for a few days. Mm-hmm. And it was very scary. But in those days, though, they had the freshmen meet a senior citizen. They'd introduce each freshman girl to a senior sister. And the senior sister would take them around and show them this huge school. I'd never been in such a big school before. And I remember the first day, I'd forgotten to take any lunch. My dad took me to school, and I didn't have any money to buy lunch. And I thought, what am I going to do for lunch? In one of my classrooms, a knock on the door, and the teacher opened it. There stood my dad to give me money for my lunch. And that set me right, you know.
How long did it take till you start meeting young people your age and making friends?
In Pasadena High? Mm-hmm. Oh, right away. Mm-hmm. Right away. I still see the girls I went through high school with, two of them.
Now, were they living in the same neighborhood?
No, it took in the whole city. Mm-hmm. We lived northwest, actually just outside the city limits of Pasadena, near Devil's Gate Dam. And my girlfriends all lived, within the city limits. But it took in the whole city. There was only one high school for the whole city of Pasadena.
What sorts of things did you like in high school?
They wouldn't let me take regular gym because of the history of TB. Mm. So I was in corrective gym the whole time I was in high school. So I didn't go in for sports, naturally. Mm-hmm. But this one special girlfriend, her mother was divorced, so there were three girls in the family. And she would take her three girls, and there was myself and two or three other girls in school. She'd pack them into her car and take us to football games. And that is the most fun I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we really went. She was young, too, as I realize now. And we'd go to all the football games, Long Beach and different places where we played.
Hmm.
And that was always fun.
Were you involved in any sort of extracurricular activities at school?
No.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you were in just beginning high school about your own future? What was it that you thought you wanted to do?
Well, during my high school years, I gradually decided I wanted to become a nurse. And I was taking a course that would entitle me to enter the nursing field.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1926, the year that I graduated, in January that year, my father died very suddenly of pneumonia. And so that left my 21-year-old brother, who was working steady, he moved home to help the family out financially. And my mother took in laundry and sewing and things like that to pay off the mortgage of the house that my father had just finished building.
Oh. So the family had finally been able to move into a house.
Yes, we moved into the house in summer of 25, 1925. It was completed, and my dad lived in it about 6 months before he died.
Let me turn.